you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Birum Baum & Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birum Baum & Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
And welcome back again. You are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment, brought to you by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network, live 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix. And those are the sounds of Joseph. Eric, doesn't it sound like an animal that eats monkeys? I mean, eats bananas?
No. It sounds very 60s.
No, yes. I heard like, hoo, hoo. Didn't you hear that?
I just did now. That was
no,
you.
I heard that. You heard that.
I got to admit this. The Austin Powers theme music is probably among the best ever.
I like that.
Just the way it fits in with him and everything.
There's another one coming out, right?
Well, he's been working on it for a long time. I can't wait for it because
I like
always
those.
Great.
Yeah, aren't they funny? Very funny.
Yeah.
I can't wait for it either, so I'm moving on.
Yes.
All right, Soul Bossa Nova from Austin Powers, Quincy Jones.
Yes.
And so here's our trivia question. Again, we're not doing too well, or you guys aren't.
I am.
I'm doing great.
I'm doing good.
Eric and Dave have two apiece, and Greg has one. A lot of wrong answers. So, of course, from Austin Powers, which of the following is not one of the things that Mike Myers' character in Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery, says that he hopes people in the 90s are still doing during one scene in the film? Okay. These are, all right. A, smoking a delicious cigarette after a groovy shag. B, having promiscuous sex with many anonymous partners without protection. C, experimenting with mind-expanding drugs in a consequence-free environment. Which one is not?
C.
What was the first one again?
The first one was smoking a delicious cigarette after a groovy shag.
C.
And what was C again?
C was experimenting with mind-expanding drugs in a consequence-free environment. Eric says C.
It's either A or C.
You think they definitely said
A.
What is B again?
B is having promiscuous sex with many anonymous partners without protection.
And what is not happening in the recent times?
What did he not say that he hopes still happens in the 90s?
What did he not say?
Yes, yeah. Come on.
I'm going to say B.
You're right. The answer is A. So Eric.
No, it was Greg.
That's great.
Greg, sorry.
Greg.
That's when it takes you guys so long.
Thank
okay,
you for your
A.
honesty.
Now it's even all the way around.
That's why
yes,
we did it.
Is.
I did it that way. I was feeling bad for Greg.
Right. But of course, however, in Austin Powers, the spy who shagged me, when Elizabeth Hurley's character asked him if he smokes after sex, he responds, "I don't know, baby. I never looked."
That was a good one. Very
so,
good.
You know, yeah. So you know, of course, Austin Powers was a sex addict, I'm sure, right?
Oh, he did his thing.
Oh, he was.
Of course, he never said it, but he's probably
Swedish
in denial.
He had a larger as well.
Oh, I don't think he was.
I love all of them. Now, the third one was interesting because the first time I saw it, I thought it was funny, but then every time I've seen it since, I like it more and more. It for some reason, it just never gets old, and there's just new things like, oh, yeah, that. So all three of them are great.
Yeah.
Very,
so, you know,
very
again,
good.
I can't wait for the next Austin Powers. It should be a lot of fun. And
Nigel Powers.
Yeah, of course. So we are celebrating sex addiction movies, right?
Are we really celebrating them, or are we just
we're celebrating
talking
them.
About
them? Well, these are all really good movies that we've talked about so far.
Have we missed any?
We've got a few more.
How about Wedding Crashers?
I'm sure that is one. We're not doing that.
Wouldn't
one today,
you say that? Wouldn't that be one?
So you know, of course. So we are talking about Thanks for Sharing, which is a great movie.
Yes.
And this is our highly anticipated sex addiction show. And joining us, we are very, very happy to have Dr. Joseph Patterson. Let me tell you a little bit about him. Dr. Joseph Patterson holds a PhD in clinical psychology. He's a board-certified forensic counselor and a certified sex addiction therapist. His practice, Crosswinds Counseling Services, has been providing confidential treatment for sexual addicts and offenders since 1996. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Patterson.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
So it's great to have you on today's show. And, you know, first of all, we had a little bit of an argument earlier with Eric. Eric doesn't believe that sex addiction is a real thing.
Oh, come on. I was just joking.
All right. Well, if people out there, if listeners are a little bit skeptical of this, because, of course, in the movie, Gwyneth Paltrow's character says, you know, isn't that something that men make up? You know, it's just like an excuse for when they want to cheat on their wives. So what do you have to say to the skeptics and naysayers?
Well, not just skeptics in Mesa. I think that that's been one of the problems with sex addiction, even with the psychiatric community. There is a lot of the old adages that have been thrown around to describe, you know, what we do, sex addicts do compulsively. The new DSM Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, in fact, has just entered it as hypersexuality, which I think does it a disservice. There are hundreds and hundreds of cases where people have, become sexual addicts over time and have had just unbelievable consequences for that. It's not something that really can be laughed off as, we're macho or something along that line.
Now, Dr. Patterson, this is Dave Isaac, the host. A quick question. How would you define sex addiction? Or is it so broad that it'd be tough? Or how would you define it?
Well, Patrick Carnes, who really did some of the groundwork in this field and still considered one of the biggest experts, described it once as a pathological relationship with a mind-altering situation. Actually, in the addiction itself, we become sexual addicts and we become chemical addicts because of the brain chemistry that's produced. So you see the same cycle that a heroin addict would go through in a way.
And so, you know, with the internet, of course, I've heard that certain websites are at all-time high, you know, in terms of usage and so on. Mainly, I'll just say, like, you know, sort of like porn sites and that stuff. Is that part of sex addiction, would you say?
It definitely is, and it's been described as sort of the crack cocaine of sexual addiction. We're seeing a lot of people nowadays who don't come from the troubled backgrounds that many of the addicts did a few years back, but they became acclimated to pornography on the internet, and it's a horrible number of sites that are available. It's just unbelievable.
Now, you know, so this movie introduced us to the fact that there are 12-step programs for sex addicts, and, you know, such as Sex Addicts Anonymous and Love Addicts Anonymous, and a wide array of these. What is the treatment for sex addiction? What do you do for sex addicts?
The main course does follow somewhat the substance abuse treatment, but it's quite different. There are the 12-step programs, as you mentioned, which are absolutely necessary because this is something that, you know, we don't have to go to the store to buy a bottle or go to the ghetto and cop dope. It's right in our head any moment of the day. So part of it is individual therapy to look at some of the personal situations that are involved and some of the drives that these individuals have, but also group therapy where they learn what they call universality. They're not the only person who has this problem. And it's still not reached a state of acceptance in the public, but if you look back 20 years ago or so at what alcoholics were looked at, sex addicts are much more so given a negative stigma. I can't say it. Because sexuality is just something we don't discuss much in this country.
Let me ask you this. Has technology, for example, the internet, easier access, chat rooms, you know, all these things, how has that contributed to specifically married people crossing the line?
You know, what it does is it normalizes a lot of abnormal behaviors. You look at the internet and everything in the world is available. In fact, you're inundated with menus offering, extreme kind of sexuality that's available just by clicking the button on the internet. Ultimately, what happens is our level of stimulus that's required to get the same high that we got a month ago or 2 months ago leads us into areas that are far beyond what a normal sexual drive would encompass. With our spouses, et cetera, there's no individual in the world that can live up to all the things that are offered on the internet. So the stimulus that you get from your spouse is totally different than what you get off the internet. And it's the internet is just extreme in every way.
Now, you know, I know that you also work with sex offenders, and you have groups for that. You work with the city, I believe, and if you could tell us a little bit about that. And also some of the areas that sex addiction can lead, obviously we don't want you to get too graphic, but, you know, some of the more dangerous areas, why this is a significant problem.
Okay. One of the things that happens, just again, like a heroin addict, is we need increased levels of stimulus to get the same high. So particularly on the internet, where you have, menus offering many, many things that normal people wouldn't have access to, you tend to be curious and need that extra stimulus to survive, so to speak, on a daily basis. You get into areas that are forbidden. The top five things mostly are against the law. People escalate to those, and some of them, I mean, offhand, one of the things that's very much recognized is like child pornography. They say that at any given moment of the day, there are 20,000 open child pornography sites on the internet, and that's just the ones they know about. People get into that, bestiality, and some other things, like you say, that you don't necessarily want to talk about. But you have to escalate, just like you do with heroin. The first shot's free. A month from now, it's $50 or $100. So sort of parallels that in the way it works.
So, you know, I know you know, you know, being a PhD in clinical psychology, the, you know, concept of secondary gain and so on. I mean, this is... You know, the people that have this addiction, it's just not a matter of replacing a behavior with another, because behind the scenes, the secondary gain concept, do you have to figure out a way for them still to get whatever they're trying to get through the behavior?
Yes, that's quite true. And you also have to try to normalize the level of sexual stimulus that's necessary for them to survive on a daily basis in normal society, to begin to appreciate a sexual relationship with a spouse or significant other. All of that work has to be done before someone is successful. And if you look at normal studies that show with alcohol, let's say, a good 30-day intensive program and a year of aftercare typically is a good program, a good start. With sex addiction, you're talking about 3 years of fairly significant involvement, plus another 2 or 3 years at least of support groups, et cetera.
Wow, that's pretty intense then.
Yes.
Now, if a couple, you know, for the listeners out there, if one spouse is not addicted, you know, in this way, and the other spouse is there some type of couple therapy that you suggest, or... Or how do you handle that? Because that's got to be tough on, well, the spouse that doesn't have the addiction.
It's very tough on the spouse that doesn't have the addiction. 12-step-wise, there is a group called RCA, or Recovering Couples Anonymous. Mm-hmm. Very good group. Large following across the country. Part of the problem is that a normal spouse who doesn't have that addiction has suffered from the addiction, meaning the being married to someone who is that or significant other. They take it personally. Most of the female clients look at it as a personal affront. This person's chosen something over me. I could understand it if it's a bottle or a drug, but I can't understand it if it's another person or some other illegal act. Most of which is very secretive, and when they find out, it's as if the spouse had died and there's a new person in his place. And it's hard to understand. It's hard to comprehend that. People that don't have that kind of compulsivity just don't have any clue of what the addict goes through. It's Pat Carnes one time said that, we look at sex addicts as, having a lot of sex with a lot of people or having a lot of sexual fun or excitement. And he said, the truth is, yes, you get some moments of that, but the degree of guilt and shame and fear of discovery, et cetera, just far outweighs that.
And let me ask you this. You know, values often will drive behaviors. So, you know, the higher the value, perhaps it will have a direct link to what you do or don't do. Let me ask you this then. Is, you know, health issues got to be a really concern, you know, in terms. And that value, if that value's somehow able to be placed high for the sex addiction person, does that curtail their behavior at all, knowing that the health issues with themselves as well as their spouse could be, you know, life or death?
You know, it has some influence, but the denial system of any addict allows them to not fully comprehend or not even really look for the consequences. I can remember one of the gentlemen that I worked with, who'd been a sex addict most of his life. His father had been a pornographer. And he got into some fairly serious sexual behavior. And I asked him once, did you understand the consequences? And he said, truthfully, I didn't even look, because if I looked and discovered how bad they were, I would have felt that I had to stop, and I knew I couldn't stop. Mm. And that's probably the best explanation of that one.
Hi, Dr. Patterson. This is Eric. I have a question.
Sir.
I have a question for you. Is it considered an addiction if it's a couple that are monogamous and they're having constant sex?
If you had a couple, and I've had many, that have a fairly routine sexual relationship with their spouse, it's not the same thing. The love and affection you may feel for one person on a normal basis doesn't come close to the chemical reactions that are brain to the forbidden, the risk factors that are involved.
So it's about the excitement then?
About the excitement. It's very, very much so.
Wow. Well, you know, Dr. Patterson, tell us a little bit about how people can they contact you, or you know, in case they are have any questions about this. And also, I think that you had mentioned a sexhelp.org. Is that correct? An URL that
yes, mm-hmm. That's an excellent site. There is a self-grading test on that page, which will really clue a person into their sexual behaviors and how it compares to both people who are addicts and to normal people. It looks at it from both sides. Now, to contact us, Crosswinds Counseling, I'll give you a phone number if that's okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
480-329-4348. And if a person has any questions about what's going on in their life sexually, they can give us a call and just talk to us over the telephone or come in, you know, whichever. The people that are actually offenders, that's one of the sad points of the system right now.
Well, we really appreciate you calling in, Dr. Joseph Patterson, Crosswinds Counseling Services. This is very valuable, and we really appreciate it because obviously it could lead to other behaviors. So these other behaviors may encompass a lot more people out there that have some issues out there. So, again, thank you so much for calling in. We'd love to have you on again.
Okay, well, thanks for inviting me. I appreciate it.
You're more than welcome, Dr. Joseph Patterson, Crosswinds Counseling Services. A real big problem out there.
Yeah, it's very enlightening discussion. You know, I'm glad that, you know, I love these movies that kind of open these doors to, you know, us as audience members, as viewers, and the world to these areas that we never really thought about. And as he said, it's, you know, in this country, sex is kind of like a highly stigmatized subject.
Yeah.
So if, you know, it's sex addiction, then it's either made fun of or it's not believed or, you know. So I'm really glad that we had this discussion, and thanks for sharing, for opening this door up to us.
Excellent. Very, very good.
Well, let's you know, go into our next Dave's Random Enlightenment. Of course, you a few weeks ago you told us that you tried out some wife swapping. And yes, you tried out some wife swapping. So let's see what you had to say about your experience wife swapping.
I think it's called wife swap. I think it's getting popular. It's sort of interesting. She was a waitress, and initially she looked very good. She looked like a lot of action. She looked like a lot of suspense. She looked like a lot of drama. She was enough action to keep my attention and interest. She had possibilities of being very heartfelt. She spoke a few words in English, but I had to learn Italian real quick. Was it Italian? Spanish. Oh, I love tacos from Taco Bell. Okay, no wonder I couldn't understand it once I learned Italian. What's up with that? I got the wrong language. I was trying to read their nonverbal behavior, and I go, oh, that's probably what's happening. But she looked cute, despite the language barrier. She reminded me somewhat of Kurt Russell. Oh, you had some gapes? Are you a Mensa? Wow, that's very exciting. I don't know what it means, but people start doing transformations, changing. You know, I didn't even know what it was about. She was the hot dog champion.
That made me sick.
Yeah, it was really weird. And she was giving orders. She was this world champion boxer. How do you convey the amount of pain someone can go through in these situations, abuse or anything similar? You can't. There's no words to describe it. So the key is really to do away with the wife. And let me see. Rehab. Yeah, that's a good idea. No doubt about it. Hi, everyone. I'm Dave Isaac. And that's my commentary, sticking to it.
So would you recommend wife swapping in the future?
No way.
At least not in Mexico, right?
No, or wherever it was. I don't know where. I thought it was in Italy.
All right, well, our next song taking us into the break.
The Blake? What's a Blake?
I don't know, because I'm thinking Black Snake Moan.
Oh.
That's where our song's from, of course. Remember that movie starring Christina Ricci?
Was she
not
was
chained up?
Yeah, she was chained to the radiator.
Wow, you guys know your stuff.
She was a nymphomaniac or something.
Right, and she was barely dressed.
Yes. So, of course, this song is from that, When the Lights Go Out, from Black Keys. Here's our question. Which of the following quotes is an accurate portrayal of how Samuel L. Jackson's character in Black Snake Moan describes his first sexual experience? I'm going to try to mimic some sort of accent here, too, by the way. A, was out behind my uncle's barn with my second cousin. B, was inside my grandma's outhouse with my mama's best friend. Or C, was in the middle of the cotton field with my daddy's daughter.
B. No, A.
A.
I'm going A.
I'm going A.
Could you repeat?
Which one?
Again?
The whole thing.
Oh, man.
I'm not going to do the A. Okay, was out behind my uncle's barn with my second cousin.
What happened to the accent?
Was inside my grandma's outhouse with my mama's best friend.
That's better.
Was in the middle of the cotton field with my daddy's daughter.
A.
A.
Yeah,
A. Oh.
Everyone gets it right. He added, man, that girl must have weighed 2 tons if she weighed a pound. Could have done a lot better for myself.
Oh, wow. All right, let's take a quick break right now. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment live at the 1480 AM Studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. And this is the lovely music by who?
The Black Keys.
Black who?
The Black Keys, Black Snake Moan, When the Lights Go Out.
Wow, you know that one. Can you start singing a little?
Can you dance blues?
Yeah, I can.
Great.
Right on the table here. Okay, we'll be right back.
Money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Beerenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, Scottsdale. We know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
My analyst told me that I was right out of my head the way he described it. He said I'd be better dead than alive. I didn't listen to his jive. I knew all along he was all wrong, and I knew that he thought I was crazy, but I'm not. Oh no.
Oh no.
My analyst told me that I was right out of my head. He said I need treatment.
And welcome back again. You are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment live here at the 1480 AM studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac, the host, alongside Greg Isaac, Joseph Erdo. How are you guys? This show is rocking.
Yes, I'm taking it one day at a time.
Oh, that was a nice TV show.
No, that's
no, it was.
That's
really.
That's something in addiction.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's one day at a time.
Yeah. Exactly. Thank you.
Well, anyway, that song was, of course, Twisted by Annie Ross.
Oh, that was a great movie, Twisted.
No, the
Twister.
Movie. The movie, I think you're going to know this one, Deconstructing Harry.
No, didn't
you
see it.
Woody Allen?
Oh, I love Woody Allen.
Well, I'm surprised that you don't know that then.
Oh, I don't know this one.
Well, okay. Well, let's do our question from that. Of course, we are tied. Everyone's got 3 points. Woody Allen's character in Deconstructing Harry claims that sex, because he's a sex addict in the movie, he claims that sex is one of the two most important things in the world. What is the other thing, according to him? A, the food that you eat. B, the work that you choose. C, the friends that you make.
C.
Dave says C.
I mean, C makes the most sense. I've never seen the movie, and if it's sort of goofy, maybe I'll say A, the food one. I'll stick with
C.
A.
Okay.
A. What was B again?
B was the work that you choose.
Yeah, go to B.
And C?
C was the friends that you make.
If you take B, we all
I'm
have different...
I'm taking C.
And everyone gets it wrong. It's
B,
the work that you choose.
Really?
He also says that the most important words in the English language are not I love you, but it's benign.
Wow, that is Woody Allen.
Woody
wow.
Allen humor. And, of course, we will have more Woody Allen humor a little bit later on. You know, so it's a preview of that. But, of course, we are celebrating the movie Thanks for Sharing with all these sex addiction things. Mm-hmm. But, of course, there's a few other movies opening this weekend. And so we want to talk about those as well, right?
Yes, Zootopia.
Yes, let's talk a little bit about Zootopia. And in this movie, Ivan Sergi plays a man who, desperate to keep the girl of his dreams, played by Jennifer Love Hewitt, turns to his best friend, Joel David Moore, to teach him how to, quote, act Jewish, end quote. However, his friend has problems of his own with a fiance, played by Jamie Lynn Sigler from The Sopranos.
Yes, Sopranos.
Yes, and she's pushing him closer to a mental breakdown as her wedding approaches. Dave, did you see the trailer for this?
I saw it.
Did you like the trailer?
I did like the trailer. Should I make a few comments
on
the trailer?
Go ahead.
A couple things they said in the trailer were really funny. It says, marry a Jewish girl and you won't ever have to make another decision for the rest of your life.
I like that.
And that. So did the guy, evidently.
Yeah, that's why
he picked
to
the
be
Jewish
with
girl because of that. And they said, how do you make sure he was getting coaching, it looked like from the trailer, from his Jewish friend.
Yes.
And he said, now, when you go out on a date at a menu, you know, I mean, at a restaurant with the Jewish date girl, mm-hmm. You have to change all the menu items beyond recognition, and then you qualify. Did you, right?
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
That's sort of funny.
And then when the food arrives, you take one bite, and you spit it out and say, take this back.
Exactly.
This is not what I want. So kind of a little bit offensive, but, you know, it's very funny. Funny,
yeah.
Right? So, you know. While watching Zootopia, a strange sense of familiarity rushes over you, regardless of your religious affiliation. I thought this was a great movie. It's a thumbs up. You know, it takes some spirited jabs at Judaism, especially when it comes to a Jewish woman's tendency to, like you said, control every aspect of a man's life, leaving him without any free will or, as the other person thought, any responsibilities, depending on your particular point of view. It also tackles universally relatable themes about how weird and wacky our families can be and how that can ultimately lead to our own unique neuroses. It's got a great pace, really fast pace, an unbelievable cast. I mean, we talked about John Lovitz. You know, who else is in this movie?
Yeah, Jennifer Love Hewitt, you mentioned. Nicolette Sheridan, The Desperate Housewives.
Desperate Housewives, great show.
The kid from Step by Step, Kristen Lake, and she's grown up in a good way.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
Yeah,
but yeah, Joel David Moore, I love ever since Grandma's Boy.
Yes, and, yeah. and Hatchet and as well, the horror film.
Yeah, he's been in quite a bit.
Yeah, I was. I Tom almost
Arnold.
Got a chance to talk we to him. Almost, Tom Arnold.
We almost left
right.
Tommy out.
Oh, yeah.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, we don't want to blow that one.
Right. Now, who's the wife of John Lovitz in the movie?
The wife of John Lovitz is, I'm drawing a, Wendy Malick. No, I'm sorry. That's a different, she's Wendy Malick's in it as well.
Oh, yeah.
Wendy Malick's in it as well. I forget who.
She's funny.
Yeah. I forget
she's
who
good.
Plays her, his wife in the movie. Rita Wilson. Rita Wilson from Mixed Nuts.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh, Tom Hanks' wife.
Tom Hanks' wife. She's brilliant. She's a great producer. She also produced, and I'm going to, the reason I'm bringing this up, she also produced My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Oh, okay.
And this is very much like My Big Fat Greek Wedding. You look like you
I hear sounds.
Fly. That's your phone or something.
Oh, it's vibrating.
It is my
us.
Phone.
Yeah, leaving it there on the table.
Like
we're all shaking.
A fly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's very much like My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Hard.
It's very, you know, it's based on a stage play. And
a very successful one.
Yes, very successful. And, you know, so I'm really hoping this movie does really well. Mm-hmm. It's got some great laughs in it. And best of all, Bountiful Heart. Again, I'm giving it a thumbs up. So I wanted to hear, before we get to our theme.
Wait, before you say that, what? I do want to announce that it is a new ride at Disneyland, Zootopia.
Yes.
It is. Okay, great.
Yes.
Can't wait to. Yeah, we'll have to talk about that off the break. Because I
you
almost
don't
said
get
something that would be
Utopia.
Offensive.
You don't remember Utopia?
Utopia, yes.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's play a
Autopia.
Let's play a quick
Zootopia.
Clip from actor Autopia. Ivan Sergi Utopia. On behalf of Zootopia. A quick.
It's about families. It's about love. And so we're using Brian was using the Jewish stereotype for comedy and all, but really it's a story that a lot of people can understand. Because, you know, everybody has parents, everybody loves their parents, hates their parents, loves their wife, hates their wife, et cetera. You know, it's kind of universal in that sense. It's a people piece. It's really just about different personalities, really. You know, ultimately, you've just got a lot of different people in different walks of life just being crazy, and it was just a lot of fun to do.
And, of course, the theme for this is one man's worst nightmare is another man's favorite fantasy, leading to, you know, like you were saying earlier about the woman controlling someone's life. And because he says, well, that's what I want. And the other one says, that's terrible. I hate that. I can't stand it. That's why I don't want to marry her. So, mm-hmm. Again, one man's worst nightmare is another man's favorite fantasy. Dave, what say you?
Well, you know, I didn't see the movie, but I will because I did like the trailer. But, yeah, I mean, it's really basic and it's simple. Some people like certain things on the menu and others don't. It's all about preference. It's not about right or wrong. It could be sort of cultural. It could be, sort of stigma. It's just how it is. So, you know, flexibility, I think, is the key. I'm sticking to it.
Very good. So, again, thumbs up to Zootopia. I think it's
very
playing
nice.
Exclusively at Harkins Valley Art. But you can also see it on video on demand. So no excuse not to see this thumbs up film. And of course, the big movie of the week is Prisoners. Hugh Jackman plays a man who, when his daughter and her friend go missing, takes matters into his own hands while the police, police officer played by Jake Gyllenhaal, pursue multiple leads. As the pressure mounts, the desperate father shows just how far he will go to protect his family. Greg, you said this would look pretty interesting to you.
It looks good. I mean, just from things that I've seen, the trailer and just from other comments that have been out and about. And so I'm interested to hear what you say about this one.
Well, I will say...
looks unique.
I will say...
It looks like the Lovely Bones, kind of, but
yes,
more serious.
Kind of like Lovely Bones, a little more serious, down to earth, kind of. Mm-hmm. Also kind of reminded me a little of that other Jake Gyllenhaal movie that we talked about. Zodiac.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of
yeah.
like that. A couple other films that it reminded me of as well. But, you know, it's a tad too long. It's about 2.5 hours. And it features some characters who do some fairly dumb things. I'm not going to mm-hmm. spoil it, but, you know, certain things happen in the movie where you just, like, you want to yell at the screen and say, you know, real people wouldn't do this, especially if they're police officers. Come on, Jake Gyllenhaal. and it's not the best performances in the world. I mean, at times, the performances by Jake Gyllenhaal and Hugh Jackman a little bit wooden, But, you know, it beckons in the Fall Awards contenders because, of course, fall is starts tomorrow,
yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And we've got some great movies that are going to be coming out. And, you know, this is it's a profoundly powerful movie. Mm. It's very, very difficult to watch. It may be one of the hardest motion pictures that you watch all year. You know, of course, these two kids are kidnapped, mm-hmm. and, you know, are they dead? And there's bloody clothes and, you know, really strange things that happen in this film. But, you know, it upsets and unsettles on an exceedingly deep level. But despite all of those flaws I told you a little bit earlier, mm-hmm. the film remains well worth watching thanks to the insights it communicates with a wafer-thin and permeable line that draws between criminal and victim. That's the theme. The line between criminal and victim is not only wafer-thin, but also permeable.
Well, so you liked it?
Yes. It's a thumbs up. It's not a breakthrough, but it's a thumbs up.
Dave was going to comment on this, I know. But before he does, Jake Gyllenhaal's eyes,
yes.
My understanding, is blinking quite a bit. Is that a real-life reaction, or was he doing that for the character?
No, probably acting.
I think it might be for the character.
That's what I was thinking, but it was something that I thought was interesting.
Yeah, I didn't really. Now that you say it, I kind of...
It wasn't in the trailer. How do you know that?
Well, I know because I saw it.
I saw it too.
Are you kidding me?
I agree with you, though. We saw it, and I disagree. Big thumbs down.
I liked it a lot.
We're going to get ready to rumble.
Good thumbs up,
no,
almost a breakthrough.
Thumbs down.
Even though it was long, I thought it kept moving well. I thought it was outstanding. It's one of my favorite movies this year. So
all right,
we're
together there. Okay, I'm going to go battle with you because this was too dark. Subject
Dave
matter.
Dave just didn't understand everything.
Yeah, no, but it was the subject matter is just not entertaining. It's a slow start. It's a slow middle. It's a slow ending. Yeah. Good acting. I disagree with you there. I think it's good acting. Technically well done.
I thought he said it was good acting.
No. I said it was a little bit wooden.
That's right. Oh, okay. Listen up, young man. Too convoluted. And I agree with you. It's a weak plot. It was mild suspenseful. It didn't scare the heck out of me. There's nothing of value in this movie.
It didn't scare you.
Nothing of value.
Nothing.
When Paul Dano's in the little...
No. No, the snakes, whatever. But the point
snakes.
The point is that this just was disjointed. It didn't have a continuity to where you could even figure stuff out.
It did.
I don't think so.
No,
Wait, this is my turn. You can get your review.
I think you're right.
But this is my turn, and we want to hear. We gave great respect to Joseph when he did his review. And the point is that it's not entertaining. It's not even, you know, I'm not going to spoil things. I mean, at the end, but the bottom line is this just did not make sense. You don't want to be, you know, don't go if you expecting some type of mild form of entertainment. You won't get it from this movie. Back to Greg and Joseph.
I thought it was very entertaining. So I guess agree a little with Joseph in the acting thing because I thought the acting was great. I would have liked to see Terrence Howard's character get a little more time.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was great. The thing is, everything does tie together. And I don't think you thought it did, Dave. Everything does. And it's one of those movies I think if Dave went back and rewatched, kind of like with the Pirates of the Caribbean movies,
I fell asleep on that one.
But every time he would start, he loved it, I know. I think he would like it a lot because everything does tie together. And there was even things that after I left the theater, I had to think back, oh, yeah, that was when that, a little bit of that. And it was creepy in a way because you had the guy that played the stand-in in The Dark Knight David something, forget his name offhand, who's a creepy-looking guy in these types of roles.
Who does some creepy things.
Oh, and he's absolutely in this film, he does, not to give it away. A great supporting actor who I think we'll see a lot more of. But I just thought all around, yeah, it's one of the better movies I've seen this year.
So I gave it a thumbs up, and you gave it a thumbs down, Dave, right?
Thumbs down.
Would you give it a breakthrough or just a thumbs up?
Thumbs up. Not
thumbs
quite
up.
Breakthrough,
okay.
But,
right.
But...
And the Phoenix Film Critics Society, to be fair, it was their film of the week.
And Family was last week.
Yes, it was last week.
And I gave Families a big thumbs up.
But it just goes to show that, you know, that's why you've got to go see these movies for yourself.
Yeah, I agree.
Because everyone's got
different
tastes.
Everyone has
different
opinions. Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, but of course we filter it through our theme. And so do you want to comment on the theme?
Well, yeah, we'll read the theme again.
The theme again is the line between criminal and victim is not only wafer thin, but permeable.
Well, here's how I saw this, and lucky I saw the movie. There's a fine line between what one does as their role in life and what another does in their role in life. For example, policeman versus civilian, military, civilian, a boxer, martial arts contender. The reason for roles and laws is to make it permissible for certain professions to be able to do certain things, and others are off limits. And this movie really shows and depicts that quite a bit. This is important so that chaos does not happen and society does not turn into a free-for-all. And so if there is a message there, I guess you could say that's a fairly good message. And I won't spoil it for people that want to see it. But, of course, you'd want the professional that has authority to do certain things be well-trained, exercise good judgment, and clearly operate from the greater good and not from a power abuse of self-interest with unresolved self-esteem issues. And often you hear that there's military people, there's police people that very small percentage that go against that role and they get themselves in trouble. So you got to have clarity. And we did a movie on that I thought went against that role. What was that up in the BART system in San Francisco? The guy.
Oh yeah,
that was shot.
Yeah. What was?
Fruitvale Station.
Yeah. Yes. And I think that was
an
example
that
I'm giving.
Another movie that you liked and I
did. Yeah. So. And sadly the BART officers went beyond their role there and so that's what I'm talking about. So there is a nice subplot to this movie from that perspective. You might want to see it.
Yeah.
But overall, if you're expecting any mild form of entertainment, this is not an entertaining movie.
Well, you know, and again,
it was very entertaining. I thought.
I liked it. I thought it was a great movie. Uh-huh. But again, my pick of the week is without a doubt. Thanks for sharing. So
now that does
so
sound
very
good.
Successful week, really, because you had a breakthrough and then two really good thumbs up with Jutopia
absolutely.
And Prisoners.
Wow,
without a doubt. And of course, so let's do play our next Dave's Random Enlightenment. This is the one we played last week, all about distraction. So let's see what Dave had to say about being distracted.
Distraction can serve as sort of a distraction from something scarier. Chuck E. Cheese used to scare me. But anyway, distraction usually will take people away from focusing on what needs to be done, what's important in key opportunities. I went to the Phoenix Mercury game last night. Okay. No, that was all night long. However, on the other hand, distraction can take you away from pain, other scary things, and mundane things. The story of my dating career. Well, I've been called Bakvala in terms of flaky. Frosted Flakes. The key is, remember that the Grasshopper movie with Keith Carradine? That reminds me of Kitty Genovese. What's a dingo dongo? Oh, I thought they were like Hostess Twinkies. Knowing how to use the art of distraction and when, wow, it is useful is one of the keys to empowerment. You remember David Gates and Bread? Forgive me, Johnny. Are you still there? Okay. Intentional distraction used on yourself as an empowering tool or on someone else to help them focus on something positive can be very good. Eugenio Derbez. What? Ryan Dennehy. But out of control and random unconscious distraction can and usually will take you away from important things in life. Chasing Mavericks, I saw that. That was a true story, by the way. Most people get distracted to avoid things that might be good for them. Eric, I need to give you a shout out. You are just top notch.
Good.
I want to suck it up loud. Thumbs down on distraction unless it's controllable.
That
it's called Random Enlightenment. I'm so sorry. Maybe be medicated next time.
You get awfully distracted.
Here's a way to distract him. Lou Diamond Phillips.
Yes, the singer.
Say his name.
Lou Diamond Phillips.
Oh, okay, we can use that as one of the Random Enlightenments. Just by saying his name is a random.
And he made
La
some
Bamba,
great movies.
Right.
La Bamba and Young Guns.
Both of those.
That was really
good
in Young Guns.
Yeah, I don't like Western movies and that type of thing.
Very
those
good.
Were both pretty
Billy
good.
The Kid.
Yeah.
Right, all right. So, of course, in Blades of Glory, Will Ferrell. I have no idea.
Does he have a couple Wills?
Probably. He played a sex addict. Right?
Will Ferrell?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Will Ferrell. Yeah, Will Ferrell.
We went to the meeting.
And because our movie...
Wilson.
Our song Luke that's going to take us into the break is from Bo Bice, Blades of Glory, from Blades of Glory. Mm-hmm. Will Ferrell's... Will, I still can't say it.
No, you cannot.
Bo Bice, wasn't he like an American Idol or something?
I'd say...
Yes, he was.
I'd say real quick, I'll say it over there, is maybe instead of going to a break, you could play the song real quick, just because just 10 minutes in the segment.
Okay, we can do that. Okay, so Blades of Glory, you know, Will Ferrell's character in Blades of Glory proudly proclaims, "I'm a sex addict. It's my cross to bear. It's a real disease with doctors and medicine and everything." What reason does he give for his addiction? A, it runs in his family. B, nobody ever loved him. C, he caught it from a prostitute.
Oh. Ooh. I forgot, but I love that movie.
Yeah.
I think it's
never
C.
Saw the movie.
I think
first
he,
one again?
The first one was It Runs in the Family.
I think
A.
I think it's C, he caught it from a prostitute.
What's B?
Nobody ever loved him.
B.
And Dave takes the lead.
You're kidding me.
Pointing to his heart, he adds, ice doesn't belong in here. It belongs out there on the ice.
4-3-3
Yes, so you take the lead.
I've never led this late in the broadcast, right,
Eric? Well, I don't think you've ever led before.
Oh, yeah,
I discussed this with Eric and Joseph before the show. We are going to let you lead.
Oh, yeah, right.
It from your heart.
Did Dave win last week?
No, of course not.
I think you did. No,
I think it was me.
No, it was Greg.
I may have last week. Yeah, so, I plan on 2 weeks in a row.
So if we want to play a little bit of the Bo Bice song for Blades of Glory.
If I do that, then what do I go out with and what do I come back with?
Yeah, exactly.
No, we're not going to take a break, right?
I was going to say just because we only have about 10 minutes left.
And then when it comes time to go out, I'll play it again.
Well, no, we got another song to play out at
but this was supposed to be the out.
Well, don't worry about the out.
Okay.
We're not going to.
I got numbers here to follow.
Well, don't.
Yeah. Wait. So we're gonna play the song and we'll just talk over it.
Just play a couple seconds of the song. You know,
right, we'll
Blades of Glory,
a
good
bit.
Movie, right?
No, I didn't see it.
You didn't
I've
see
got
it?
A schedule to keep.
Yeah, there's a schedule.
With the figure skater, Sean Hedder.
Oh, Sean Hedder. What? Or Sean Hedder?
John.
Oh, John.
Well. All right.
No, I haven't heard that song.
Then forget
no,
that
that's
song.
The Zamboni song.
Let's go into the next song. Let's go to the
no,
next
I
song.
Think it's what is the next song?
This
what is
it,
you
a
want
music
me to play
station?
The next one?
Yeah,
I'm
the
running
next
out
song.
Of songs here.
There's no. Okay, how many inventory songs do we have?
2000.
No,
I got two left.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because we're only going to. We'll
one
only
now,
have two more. One now, and then one's going to take us out of the break.
Okay.
All right, I guess we do have
this is the one.
What is that?
This is a perfect sex addict song, isn't it?
Oh, something about. Yeah, I know this one.
Some of those trombones or what?
It's 8 minutes. No, I mean it's about...
We have 8 minutes left.
I'm a what?
I'm a girl watcher.
Is that addiction deal?
Could be. Could
no,
be.
A girl watcher? Do you watch girls, Greg?
Who doesn't?
Man? Yeah, who doesn't?
How about in Vegas?
Well, unfortunately, summer's ending. You know?
Summer, yeah.
It's not as fun.
Yeah.
Here comes one. Oh, I love
yeah,
a
here
girl
comes one now.
Wrapped in sweaters.
Have you been to Vegas,
you know,
Eric?
Two of my favorites.
I have been to Vegas.
Do you do, like, watching in Vegas? Just people watching?
I try to avoid Vegas in Vegas.
Oh, you don't like it? Yeah.
Well, so that song, of course, is from Autofocus, among many other things.
Autofocus.
Yes, it's from The Occasions.
The Occasions.
Girl Watcher. Autofocus.
The Pop
yeah.
10.
Do you remember Autofocus?
No,
yeah,
I do not.
Greg Kinnear, right?
Yes, yeah. Greg Kinnear yeah, played Greg the guy from
oh, he's good.
Hogan's
yeah.
Heroes.
Yeah, what was
yeah.
that?
Oh, yeah.
Bob Crane. Yeah.
Bob Crane. He
died in Scottsdale. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what the movie yeah. was about.
And he was a sex addict. Yeah. Bob Crane
Bob
was
Crane.
A sex addict.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wasn't Willem Dafoe his little sidekick?
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
William Dafoe?
Willem.
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 Willem. Like in Barney and Pebble Beach. Willem.
He was the guy that most
no, that's Wilma. Wilma. Yeah, right.
Well, my favorite thing about girl watching is that when Seth and Evan in Superbad, I forgot the girl's name, but when they see her outside the liquor store and they have to get a view of her warlocks, one of my favorite scenes of the film.
I don't get it. Okay.
You'll have to see the film again. All right, so from Autofocus, of course, it's a big surprise here. Dave's in the lead with 4 points. Greg and Eric both have 3.
It will change shortly, Eric.
Let's see.
No, there's no more questions.
No,
and no more
we
bones.
Have a couple more questions
yes.
here.
We do. Yes.
Yeah, Autofocus. Which of the following is not a motto uttered by Greg Kinnear's Bob Crane from Hogan's Heroes in Autofocus? Which of the following is not one of his mottos? A. Sex is not the answer, it's the question. Yes is the answer. B. The difference between sex and love is that sex relieves tension and love causes it. C. A day without sex is a day wasted.
Yeah, B is true, but
A again, please.
A is sex is not the answer; it's the question. Yes is the answer.
A.
That's not one of the answers.
Oh, right? It's not.
Not yes.
Okay,
that's
what
I
want to
clarify.
Then?
B is the difference between sex and love is that sex relieves tension and love causes it.
And the third one?
And the third one is a day without sex is a day wasted. They're probably all true, right?
C is not one of them.
C is not one of them.
I agree. I think it's C.
Okay.
C.
You're all wrong again.
It's B.
It is B.
Oh,
that is
that's
actually,
what I was going to say at first, but
yeah,
listen
it
to me.
But it's very true.
That's it is true. But that's
right.
Actually a Woody Allen quote.
Oh.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Woody Allen is quoted as saying that. Allen is also quoted as saying... Is sex dirty? Only when it's being done right. Sex is the most fun that you can have without laughing. And my favorite, I'd call him a sadistic, hippophilic necrophile, but that would be beating a dead horse.
Huh. Interesting.
Don't think about it too much.
I don't know what those terms are. Okay.
Well, let's play a, before we do our final question, figure out who wins, because right now Dave's in the lead.
Yes, I am.
Is this the bonus, or is this just the final before
this
the bonus?
This will be the bonus, but
this is it.
Yeah, but let's...
This
let's,
is the goods.
Right, let's play our final Dave's Random Enlightenment.
Oh, a new
this
one.
This is a new one.
Yeah.
So this is the highlight of the week. Dave's Random Enlightenment about remote viewing. Of course, we talked all about it last week, but you might not have heard some of these specific thoughts. Dave's Random Enlightenment about remote viewing.
I do know there's a concept called remote viewing where you can't get in trouble because if something happens, you just zip back into your body. I mean, they developed the skill to be able to look beyond the physical. They have tested these things. In fact, I know metaphysical people are right now watching us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I dated a psycho. Cordy Caitlin. You Lincoln Felter? Wow. Oh, yeah. Cordy Caitlin did have weird hairstyles. But anyway, you know what gave me nightmares? Cordy Caitlin. Said Jeepers Creepers. Cordy Caitlin crept under doors. I can never hear Cordy Caitlin without looking under doors. I was looking under doors for years. Yeah, that was scary. Oh, I see Cordy Caitlin through the window. Cordy Caitlin here in the parking lot. That is scary. That is really freaky.
I like it.
Oh, see, that's how you reframe it. Tiptoe through the tulip, through the glass, over and beyond.
This is a film that will change life as we know it.
Here we go.
Yes, it is.
Yucky. What do you tiptoe through a tulips? I don't know. Tulips, four lips, six lips. Who knows? But would that work with the ladies where you'd sing a love song? I don't think that would work, would it? But I do believe there are certain people that have talent. Have you ever seen the Twilight Sagas? Great acting, and the new young stars, whoever they are, did a great job. I think it's a huge thumbs up. I haven't seen the movie.
So,
Twilight Sagas.
Sagas. And I didn't make him say Sagas.
Yeah,
that's what
just,
you
think. That's just Dave. That's Dave Random.
Have you ever seen the Twilight Sagas? And who's Cordy Caitlin? Why was she looking at us through the window? There's only one window in here, and Eric is behind the glass. Yeah.
Eric.
That is not Cordy Caitlin. That's
what
Eric.
Is that her? What is her name?
I don't even know what name you said. Cordy?
He said Cordy Caitlin. I think he meant...
That girl. Yeah, who?
Katie...
Katie, what's her name, Eric?
Katie Couric.
Katie Couric.
You were thinking of something about Kirkland Milk or something.
Yeah, that's what it was. So, wow, that was a good one, remote viewing.
So thank you very much. And our last question of the day comes from a movie that doesn't come out yet until next week.
Oh, good.
Our show next week is all about Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
We're going
to track his
career.
Don John, yes.
I saw it.
Our song is... You didn't see it.
No, I know.
It's from Don John. It's called Good Vibrations for 2 points, okay? Because that's all it's going to take. To win.
Who am I winning? What do I got so far?
Marky Mark.
You're in the lead, so...
4-3-3?
Yeah. All right, so our question... This is worth 2 points, okay? And so, but answer last after they write theirs down and give it to me. This is from Don John. Again, we're going to talk all about Don John next week and celebrate Joseph Gordon-Levitt. What is the personal... Okay, first of all, I have to tell you this. 4 hours just floating on a tube. We all understand what Dave means when he's referring to that, right?
Don't
say it. But here, what is the personal daily record that is reached by Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character in Don John when it comes to enjoying 4 hours just floating on a tube with pornography? Okay?
Say that again.
What?
I'm going to try not to be so funny. What is the personal daily record that is reached by Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character in Don John when it comes to enjoying himself?
Okay, I get it.
To pornography.
So how many times?
How many times in a day?
Oh,
is this
okay.
Personal daily record?
Oh, fantastic.
Fantastic?
Is this like a...
Without going over?
Without going over, but if everyone goes over, then the closest wins.
See, sometimes you need a 15-minute break.
Hurry, we're going to run out of time here.
Hey, did you see mine?
No.
He saw mine. He was looking, and now he's feeling one over.
Go ahead,
Dave. Dave's cheating.
Hurry, because we're going to run out of time.
Write it down. Here,
all right,
look.
So
I already did it.
Go ahead. What do you say?
I'm going to say 10.
And... Dave said 12. Greg got it spot on with 11.
Because
congratulations.
I calculated it out. You get a 15, 30-minute break. And
wow. So is that
he
your personal daily
it.
Record?
That was
four
personal
hours
experience.
Right. You know, I'm impressed that Dave got 12 times floating on a tube.
Well, you know, someone,
you
some people
ride
have
11,
it, some people
so.
Don't.
Stamina.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm on the side of the road a lot, by the way.
You got Dr. Joseph Patterson's number, right?
Yes, I do.
Very good. You might need it.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And this is, I guess this wraps up Breakthrough Entertainment. Joseph, thank you.
Thank
Great.
You.
Great. We'll still be here. Of course, this is 1480 AM KPHX. Stay tuned for Real Hockey Talk coming right up 12 o'clock.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.